The question for today is, what does it mean to be lost? The word lost means to perish, to be ruined, destroyed. It refers to being separated from God. It means, in a sense, to be doomed without God. So what does it mean to be lost? Well, a lot of people, if I was to ask them that question, immediately someone would say, well, lost means to be a sinner. But what does the Bible say about that? Well, over in the book of Psalm 51, verse number 5, we find here he said, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. David's a psalmist here, and he's not saying that the act of conception in the holy matrimony is sin. But he comes forth with a sin nature passed from Adam. So in sin, he was conceived in sin in that sense. So he's born a sinner. The Bible also says in the book of Psalm 58, verse number 3, he says, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. So every child comes into this world is born a sinner. But you realize something, a person, though, even though he's born a sinner because he's got Adam's nature, he's not responsible until he reaches the knowledge of accountability. Some people say, it's an age of accountability, but I don't like to use the word age. I use the word knowledge of accountability. And until a person reaches that knowledge of accountability, they're safe. S-A-F-E. But all have sinned. Romans 6:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, yet all are not lost. Some are saved. But when one reaches the knowledge of accountability, he's a candidate for hell. In a sense, he's lost. He's separated from God, yet he does not recognize that fact until the Holy Spirit reveals that to him. And all the while he's working in his life, that God himself is holding back, forbearing, or holding back that wrath off that person while he is lost. The Bible says in Romans 2:4, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? He says, do you despise that? Well, the thing about it is, he's forbearing, holding back that wrath off of every individual person. You realize the word forbear, it means to hold back. It's like the dam that's down here at Kentucky Dam, which we live close to. It's holding back a head of water. I don't know how tall it is, 40, 50 feet, depending upon the height of the river, the height of the lake. But at least it's holding back that water. If that dam was to break, then Paducah would be washed off the map as that head of water would go down the Tennessee River right into the Ohio there at the foot of Broadway in Paducah. And you realize something, that's exactly what would happen to every person who's reached the knowledge of accountability. If the devil could, he'd kill him. But thank God, God's got a hedge about you, and he's forbearing. He's holding back that wrath off of you. Even though you're lost, he's giving you a space of repentance where he works a complete work in you. And in that, he'll let you realize and recognize that you're lost. He must reveal that to an individual, that you're lost. Now, many in our churches today have said they were sinners, and they made so-called professions of faith on that fact, and they have doubt and confusion. They live with that nagging doubt. They have that confusion. There's no stability in them, and people can't get them to serve God because, really, they're not saved. They've never been lost. Also, I deal with many today who say they are lost, but what they have is a deductive and an inductive reasoning. In other words, they say, I'm not saved according to what you say the ingredients of salvation are. I don't have them. So if I don't have them, and if I'm not saved, then I must be lost. And that's true in a sense. But the Holy Spirit has not revealed that to them. It's got to be a revelation from Him. Salvation is of the Lord. He must reveal that to you before you'll ever be saved. And even when He reveals that to you, you must realize it or experience the reality of that lostness before you'll ever be saved. Thus, one has to have a work of Holy Ghost conviction, of judgment and sin, more than just the fear of hell. In other words, that fear of hell is just the worldly sorrow. And the Bible tells us plainly in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 10, he said, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. In other words, many people have a sorrow, and preachers sometimes think that's what they have is it's conviction. And all it is a worldly sorrow They're sorry they got caught. They're sorry for something that happened. Physically, it's a worldly sorrow, and it causes them, whatever profession they make, to remain in a state of death, separated from God in that sense. Now, the godly sorrow that works repentance, in other words, it takes that to work repentance, and as that work is being done, then you'll experience lostness. There will be an experience of that lostness. In other words, the reality of it in your heart. It'll not just be in your head, it'll be in the heart. And as you experience that, of course, you recognize the fact of how that you were lost even before you realized it or even recognized it as far as that's concerned. But we know that the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 3 and 4, he said, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The devil don't want you saved. He hides you from the gospel. He don't want you to get hold of the gospel. Now, the gospel is not just a word. It's the truths of the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, which involves the virgin birth, the sinless life, the vicarious death, His burial, His resurrection, His ascension, His ministry of intercession, and His bodily coming back again one day. And He'll withhold those facts from you because He don't want you to see the fact that Jesus died on the cross that you might be saved. And all that is involved in the gospel of Christ. And so He hides that for you. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, chapter 2, verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. In other words, the things of the Spirit of God are spiritually discerned. That means the Holy Spirit has got to grant them to you. In fact, he says in John 3:27, John the Baptist said, a man can receive nothing except it's given him from heaven. All revelation's got to come from God. If you take what I say and move on that, that's going to be word only or preacher only. That's not a work of the Holy Ghost. I may tell you the truth and try to tell you the truth. The Word does tell you the truth. But if the Holy Spirit doesn't quicken that to you and utter that to you or speak that to you, you'll never move on this down this road, if you please, or down the way of, toward the point of being saved. You'll never get to that point because the devil will short-circuit it. He'll use people to short-circuit that in your life. Now, you notice it says 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man, that's the lost man, that's the soulish man. He doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God. Now, many people, they know about God, but they don't know about the Spirit of God. People talk about God and talk about Jesus. This verse is saying they don't know the things of the Spirit of God. That means many are blinded to the truths of the Spirit of God as He works salvation in your heart. And when we preach those, people get upset. They get perturbed, if you please. They don't want to hear that. And as a result, they'll push that off. They'll turn it off as if it's not from God. And what's wrong is that their foolishness unto Him. He cannot receive them. He can talk about Jesus. He can talk about God. But when it comes to the real Spirit of God. Now, some people talk about a spirit, but I'm afraid they got the wrong one because what they have, the spirit that so-called they have, does not lead them in the truth. He's not the Holy Spirit of God. And he says here, the natural man doesn't know, but when God awakens you, enlightens you, and stirs you, He begins to give you inside that you need about this Holy Spirit of God and what He does in the work of salvation. And so therefore, we realize as He lets you know and reveals to you that you're lost, and then the Lord begins to seek you out. That's why He came. That's why He died on the cross. And He came for that purpose, very purpose. The Bible said in the book of Luke, chapter 19, verse number 10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. In other words, that means that's the ones He's going to save. He's not going to save anybody that's not lost. And it's not because I tell you you're lost. It's not because you inductive and deductive reasoning out that you're lost. But when God reveals to you you're lost and then lets you recognize it and realize it, oh my, that's when business will pick up, experiencing that lostness. You realize, I mean, that's why He came. In fact, there in Luke 19:10, that's spoken right after He came to Zacchaeus. And there He was right on time. He showed up right on time in God's time. And when Zacchaeus was there, and Zacchaeus was saved. You realize also, He said in John 4:4, I must needs go through Samaria. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And there was a woman at that well who was lost and was desperate. She was trying to find happiness in men, and she couldn't find it there. But one day a man showed up, the God-man, the Lord Jesus. Why? He was seeking her out. He was working salvation in her, and she went away with a well sunk in her soul, saved by the grace of God. He showed up right on time, on His time. And also He showed up at Legion. We call Him Legion. That's the name the demons called inside this man that was possessed with legion of demons. And He showed up right on time there and delivered that man. I don't know all the ins and outs about that, but something caused Legion to fall at His feet, prostrate, and worship Him out there. That there was enough of the something inside that caused him to seek out the Lord Jesus, and He showed up right on time. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. What about blind Bartimaeus? He came right on time, in God's time. And Bartimaeus, who cried out, David, thou son of God, have mercy on me. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. In other words, he's talking to Jesus, who is the Lord, who is the greater son of David. Have mercy on me. And there, that man was saved. He was healed, but he was also saved right on time. God's time. Why? Because the Lord came to seek and to save that which was lost. You've got to be lost before you'll ever be saved. I'll never forget a man who's passed on now, gone on, Brother Paul Ragland, down at Myrtle, Mississippi, used to stand as he would preach. And he had a monotone voice, kind of, as he would get up, and one of the first things he would say, most every time he'd get up to preach the message, he'd say, "When did you experience lostness?" Now, that bothered me. When I was a lost preacher, that bothered me at that time. You see, if he had asked me when I saved, I could have told him about a 10-year-old experience where nothing happened. I could have told him about the color of the couch, the color of the walls, and some incidents around that, but it wasn't nothing that happened. But when he said, "When did you experience lostness?" that bothered me because I had never experienced lostness. And so I'm glad that he did that. I heard another preacher one day say, he said, "If you can tell me about within a distance of when you experience lostness," he said, "I'll not have to even worry about hearing the rest of your testimony because I know that I'll not worry about your salvation because I know the Lord finished that work in you because He came to seek and to save that which was lost." Now, you got to be careful here because, you see, you may experience something you think's lostness and it may be worldly sorrow. And many things may bother you. In fact, the devil will tell you that's lostness to try to get you to make a false profession. In fact, he uses preachers to tell you that's lostness. But you know something? Preachers better leave you alone because they don't know where you're at. And therefore, you need to come to the place that you might experience lostness because if you've never been lost, you've never been saved. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you. Until we meet again on the air or in the air, may the good Lord bless you, is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.